Good evening and welcome to the Vegan Hour. This is episode 8 on Tuesday the 30th of April. It's the last day of April. Oh my goodness. Tonight I have Joanne Webb, the federal candidate for the AJP for the seat of Ryan.
Hi Harry.
I think I got that right.
That's a mouthful.
Thanks for coming along. It is a mouthful. You got a long title. Let's have a look at, the Vegan Hour is sponsored by Vegan Frothers cruelty-free clothing, so you can get your cruelty-free clothing and also support animal charities at the same time, because all the profits go to animal sanctuaries, so that's fantastic. So Vegan Frothers, Seth's Vegan home delivered pies and all their wonderful food that they have, and Sindian Natural Food Products. They're sponsors of the Vegan Hour. Now let's have a look. There's four events coming up. While you guys are coming online, I'm seeing lots of hellos. Look at that. Leah says hello. Yana says hello. Another episode I was really looking forward to. Michelle says that's awesome. And Robert says, hi guys, you are both role models for me. Wow, you need to set your sights a bit higher in my case, I think, Robert. But no, seriously, thank you. That's a beautiful thing to say.
Thank you, Robert.
And Susie says, hi, hello, and Joe.
Hi, Susie.
So let's have a look. We've got four events coming up. We've got this tomorrow night, Wednesday night, the 1st of May. There's the BKA Vegan Restaurant in Burley here has their bowls night. They call it bowling night. So they've got all these wonderful little bowls of food like curry bowls and burger bowls and so forth.
Yum.
Only $12. And so it's really good value. So get on down there if you want.
And healthy. Okay.
And healthy, yeah. Mm. Their food's amazing. I love talking about BKA Vegan. Love talking about vegan food. Now, Thursday, also on the Gold Coast, this ties in with the Animal Justice Party. There is a Meet the Candidates and Info Night at Mermaid Beach at the Community Centre. Starts at 6 p.m. and you can meet the three candidates, Leah Coutts, Renee Stewart and Carla Freeman. Renee was on my last episode 2 weeks ago. So you can go along at 6 p.m, you can meet them, you can find out a bit of info about what's happening with our upcoming federal election and how they're going to help. So, and how you can help also, that's an important thing too.
Absolutely.
Yes, how you can help them help the animals. Also on Friday, there is a Climate Election Action Day also on the Gold Coast. And that's starting at 11 a.m. at Varsity Lakes. So details of all these events, I'm going to put the links on the live stream later and you'll be able to go along and help out at these events, help the Animal Justice Party. And also finally, again on the coast, on Sunday is a sustainable social event, zero waste and plant-based gathering from 4 p.m. at Miami. That was a lot of events to get
That's
through.
That's a busy weekend.
And it's a busy week and weekend. So, okay, Robert says, you are funny looking. Okay. Before we went live tonight, we've been having a lot of fun tonight because the Vegan Hour is about facts and fun. But it is a very serious subject tonight. We're talking politics, so we're going to be somber. No, we're not going to be somber. We're going to be factual, because the bottom line is to help the animals, isn't
that's
it,
exactly
Joanne?
Right.
So that's what the Animal Justice Party wants to do. That's what Joanne wants to do. She wants to help the animals. So let's find out a little bit about yourself. Let's start off. Tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll sort of expand from there. Who is Joanne?
Who am I? Harry, I'd like to describe myself as a bit of a political animal.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I am.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's come about from growing up in a family that was very politically astute.
Oh, good.
Even more important, a family that always involved nature and the animals. So it was not uncommon for us to go out for the weekend. Every weekend, Mum would make up a nice lunch. We'd take a cordial and be out for the day, whether it was out by the river, bushwalking, hiking, and actually just being with nature and in nature.
I love that you had that upbringing, because that's something that a lot of people seem to miss out on nowadays. Just to, you know, when we used to go and picnic and spend time in nature.
And no devices.
No devices. None of this, what vegan places open a day that we can go and get food from, you know. It's like, no, we make the food at home. We take it with us.
That's it.
You know, I love that. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Likewise, animals were always part of our family. So our companion animals were always part of our whole family. Mum was, she still is an animal whisperer. So if there was an injured animal, a magpie or a possum, she would bring the animal back to life, and then we would ceremony. Release the animal back into the wild.
So your mum literally had brought animals back to life, as in they were like really badly injured or something.
Yes, and she'd feed them She researches all back in the days before the internet as well. Yeah. So she would research.
What a great upbringing you've had.
Fantastic.
I can see how that leads up to where you are now.
Absolutely.
It shows over. We've covered it all. So that sort of, I can see why you would have wanted to run as a candidate for the AJP.
Absolutely. Well, I've taken those qualities into life as an adult. I think responsibility for others, for the animals, for the environment, not for the utility that they bring us, but because they're an important part of our lives. I think as I've matured and as I've grown up, went to university, learnt more about politics, I've always been interested in the truth and fairness and justice.
Yes.
So
how ironic, and you went into politics.
You were into politics.
Yes. And, well, definitely. That's why it's ironic. The two aren't necessarily connected.
Yes. But I mean, with the Animal Justice Party, I feel it's very aligned to my own personal ethics and values.
Of course.
So moving into politics with the Animal Justice Party specifically almost feels like I've found my purpose.
It's definitely a perfect fit, isn't it?
It is.
I'm really impressed. There's a Jackie there. Just a comment there from Jackie I want to get to. It says, hi there, Harry and Joe. I'm a member of the AJP party in Victoria. It's the only way to end animal cruelty, get a voice for the animals in government. Well said. Yes, that's good. I think we've got a few AJP supporters watching tonight. Awesome. Good show of strength there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so somewhere along that, along your life's journey there, you've decided to go vegan.
Yes.
How did that awareness come in?
Well, so I was a vegetarian for 24 years of my life.
Wow.
And I went vegetarian for animal rights.
Yeah.
And then obviously had my head in the sand for many years. And I visited the Farm Animal Rescue out at Daybra, who I also volunteered for.
Awesome.
And I was so ashamed, absolutely heartbroken to understand that I had been funding industries, egg industry, dairy industry, and I was really ashamed. So straight away, I literally cut out any further animal products.
Excellent.
And it hasn't been a difficult transition.
No.
We're also very lucky in Brisbane, Southeast Queensland, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, have a lot of vegan options.
We do, but you know, even if we're not in that area, if we're anywhere in Australia, there's always fruit and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds and, you know, tofu and whatever. There's, you know, it's not really that hard.
It's funny, isn't it? When you disclose to people that you're vegan and people give you a look, what do you eat?
What do you eat?
I eat the same as you, except no animal products.
Except
fresh
produce.
There's so much to choose from.
Fresh produce, and there's so many cultures in the world that have eaten essentially vegan without the word vegan.
That's exactly right.
For so long that it goes right back in their history.
Yes.
Because that's what their culture, that's just how they were brought up.
Yes.
And it's not a question of, oh, how do you survive? It's like, that's our lifestyle.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, that's sort of getting
better
off
for us, better for the animals, better for the environment.
This is what we learn on the vegan hour.
Absolutely.
This is absolutely correct. There's some nice comments coming in there too. Jackie says, please vote AJP, yes, and help end live export, which I want to ask you a bit about live export during the show tonight as well. So, so why did you decide? You decided that it fitted perfectly with who you are, what you stand for, and so it's like, okay, the AJP is exactly what I want to support. That's what it wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you get to a point in life where writing to your member is not enough, going to a rally is not enough, completing polls is not enough. And I really started to feel disenchanted and powerless to create change.
Right.
So when I discovered the Animal Justice Party, which was interestingly through a talk by Voiceless, they have every year political animal sessions, which they always speak to people from international animal law or politics. And this year, it was 2016, Marianne Thame, who's the leader of the Dutch Animal Party, was speaking that evening, and she spoke about the importance of animal charities in terms of raising funds and raising awareness. She spoke about the importance of animal activists in terms of increasing awareness of consumers and transparency. And then the cut and thrust of her message was, unless you are within the political system, you can't create legislative change.
Yeah.
You need to be part of that. And that was the light bulb moment that went on for me. That night, she mentioned the Animal Justice Party.
Yeah.
So I Googled, I went to member meetings, and I've been an active member ever since.
That is fantastic. And now with what have we got, 2 weeks, a bit over 2 weeks away for the federal election?
That's right.
You're now standing for the seat of Ryan,
yes,
for the AJP. So I believe the seat of Ryan is a very beautiful place. Actually, I know it is because I've spent time in different parts of it.
Yes.
So tell us about the seat. You live in the seat of Ryan.
I live right on the cusp of Ryan. It's a difficult...
It's an area you relate to very strongly.
Right on Barnum.
Yeah.
If I was a street over, I would be in the seat of Ryan. However, I still feel...
you're part of it, yeah.
To Brisbane and to Mount Coota, the beautiful nature reserves.
Yes.
Find that I resonate with a lot of the residents that live there is that genuine value in terms of nature and in terms of animals, and I think it's because the area is so leafy.
I think it's important for people to realise, if you don't live in Brisbane, if you're watching this from another part of Australia or around the world, that Brisbane isn't just a city, just a city. I mean, once you get outside of Brisbane, there is a lot of beautiful area.
Absolutely.
To the west, to the south, to the north, yeah. Everywhere. Don't go too far east, you'll get wet. But but there's a lot of beautiful area. And you're talking about Mount Coota, and you know, there's
right.
the inaugural area, which
That's
has beautiful right. bushland around there. I'm assuming it has even though I spent time there, I didn't actually see any koalas, but there probably is a koala area.
There is. And that's the loss of koalas and koala habitat is a real concern for residents. So people that I've been speaking to are deeply concerned about climate crisis and the displacement of wildlife and the actual greater impact that we're having. As I said before, I think because we live in such a leafy area, there is that direct connection and that value of animals and the environment, not because of the utility that they're providing us, but because we're living with them.
Yes. Have you seen some of that change maybe with animals being affected by the climate crisis? And I love that you've used that terminology too, by the way.
Yeah,
climate
absolutely.
Crisis, which is definitely a better way of saying
it's
it.
It's not just about change.
It's an emergency.
We need to act.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, I my mum lives down in northern New South Wales, so there I travel down there to her environmentally sustainable home.
Mm.
The amount of wildlife on the side of the road is absolutely gut wrenching, and likewise the amount of live export trucks where you see animals being transported up and down.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking. So I really feel that a lot of the policies that the Animal Justice Party is pushing for are key. I see them every day.
Yes.
They impact us every day.
And that's another really important point. If you're living in those areas where we're seeing what's happening to the native animals and where we're also seeing what's happening to the farmed animals, it's much more sort of there in our mind all the time, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, if you're isolated in a city area, that you mightn't be as aware of it.
That's
you know, so it's important that the AJP actually creates or is able to create that awareness for those of us that don't get to see it.
Absolutely. And Ryan's interesting because there it is sort of right on the cusp of Brisbane, the city area, but then to your point, it does stretch out west. So you've got urban and peri-urban areas, you've got national park. So it's a real mix, which is why I think everyone wants to live there and it's such a popular area.
That actually brings up another problem. Everybody wants to live there. And this is what decimates the areas, unfortunately. It's like, how do you solve that problem? But Rick says, being vegan is the easy, definitely.
Yes.
B says, thanks for speaking up for the animals, Joe. Rick also says, we are very proud of you, Joe. Lyndon says, hello. Hello, Lyndon.
Hi, Lyndon.
And Andy says, climate crisis, exactly. Thank you for noticing the terminology of climate crisis, because I only became aware of it today, actually. So when I read a news article about it, which I shared on my page. Ryan, it's a lovely area. So you've got, let's move. So what policy areas or public needs are you personally passionate about?
Animals,
obviously.
Certainly the climate, environment, live export, and I think they're all inextricably linked.
Can we just dwell on the climate for a moment, climate crisis? How would you describe it in your own words, what you're seeing, what you're hearing in the media, the reports that you might have seen, you know, all the information that's coming out now? How is it affecting you personally? What are you thinking?
I am deeply concerned with the lack of action from the government. I'm constantly astounded and astonished that the government is still arguing that whether or not climate change exists. There's been a cut in funding in terms of the climate science behind investigating climate change. There has been government officials making public statements questioning climate crisis. So the fact that we're still debating this is a real concern. And when residents are telling me we want a change, we want action, and we need it to be immediate.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the feedback you're getting from residents?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yes. It's extremely worrying when the people that in theory we elect for our to look after us or look after our best interests are doing the opposite.
That's
it's extremely worrying. And you know, we discussed this on the interview with Renee Stewart 2 weeks ago, that you know, it's very obvious when you see the vested interests at play, because you know, it's just, let's keep delaying doing anything about it, because you know, we want to just keep everyone happy behind the scenes.
Yes.
And that really is just,
it's
a worldwide trend that is very, very, I don't know. I've got strong words and I can't use them on a PG rated. Anyway.
And Harry, you probably know the IPCC, that's the Government Panel of Climate Change.
Yeah, from the UN.
Given a time limit of 12 years.
12 years, and that was over a year ago, I think, or approximately a year ago when they gave that.
That's exactly right.
Since then, there has been multiple, there's been other studies come up, and in fact, in the last week, I've now read several different reports saying that they underestimated the effect and the speed at which it's happening. It's actually worse than they think. And so it's worse again than what the IPCC has said.
So 11 years, it's less.
It could be, yes, and the change is going to be more dramatic, and that the temperature rise will be higher than they thought it would be. So this is some of the stuff I read in the last week, and this is coming from all different areas now. This is coming from scientific studies and different organisations from all different areas that's coming in, and it's mainstream media is sharing this quite a lot now. So guys, it is a climate crisis. So this brings the next thing is, what can we do about it?
Absolutely.
While we're talking about this,
absolutely.
What can we do about it? As vegans,
yes,
take it from here.
Absolutely.
Take it from here. Tell us what we can do about it as vegans.
Certainly in terms of the energy consumption, and one of the concerns that the Animal Justice Party has with the larger parties and their policies is that they're only talking about renewable energy, and that is positive, but
yes,
we need so much more. We need to address so much more than just renewable energy. So as a consumer, how are you consuming energy? How much energy are you using?
Yeah.
Obviously, how what modes of transport you use,
yeah,
whether you have your own car, how far you drive, or whether you can use public transport.
Yes.
Our diet, I think.
Well, this is the thing.
Vegans.
Statistically, 73% reduction. If we go vegan, we can reduce our impact by 73%. I'm not sure what that 73% consisted of, but basically that's what I've got stuck in my head from some statistic I read just recently. And so we would reduce our effect on climate crisis by 73% personally by doing that. So that's, you know, I read statistics about, you know, you could have shorter showers for a whole year and it wouldn't make the difference of being vegan for one day, things like that, you know. So this is really, really important, guys.
Absolutely. You know? And I think the point of the difference that you can make just through your diet,
yes,
comes back to our policy with the Animal Justice Party and not just focusing on renewable energy. Animal agriculture is one of the greatest contributors to global warming.
Yes.
And obviously,
methane,
greenhouse
gases. Yeah.
Tree clearing, so land
tree clearing. That's right. Yes.
You might know the statistic of 93%
of Amazon.
Land clear here in Queensland.
Oh yes, that's right.
Is due
true.
93%.
Yes.
Due to animal agriculture.
Yes. Queensland's land clears at the rate of 2 football fields a day, I think.
That's right.
For animal agriculture, which is insane.
It is.
And I was thinking, when you mentioned statistics, I was thinking Amazon, which is clearing at the rate of an acre a second or something. It's unfathomable that how quickly the Amazon is being destroyed.
Yes.
It's 91% of the Amazon, I think, is being used, destroyed in relation to animal agriculture. So, you know, food used to feed animals or whatever, you know, so it's like, wow.
That's it. And I think with the federal election, and also obviously running in Ryan, people are seeing the impact that these practices are having on wildlife.
So
obviously with land clearing comes the displacement of wildlife koalas.
Yes.
Koala populations reduced by 80%.
Since
I think 1995.
Wow.
So we really are in a crisis, and I can't believe that other parties are ignoring animal agriculture. So we have to ask the question, why?
I was about to. Why? Why are they doing that? Should we answer it, or should we just leave it as an open-ended question?
I have a theory.
I have a fact. You mightn't want to say it, but I'll say it.
Why do you think?
Well, ethics disappear when money becomes God. Mm. Greed is, you know, and it's popping up actually a lot now, where it's not even something that's it's so shown as a, greed is shown in, even in movies as a, almost like a laughing thing, like people are doing things because of greed, but it's really what is actually happening. You know, it's used as a theme in fictional movies, but it's like, no, actually greed is really what the problem is here.
Yes.
You know, so and greed is why governments are continuing not changing, because they like the money in the pocket.
Yeah,
I can say that. You also mightn't be able to, but I can.
There's also, I think, inherited thinking, where we talk about a lot of the older parties, the larger parties, have a heritage, and they've come from a particular left or right persuasion. They have established political networks that they need to continue to bolster, and that's something that's different with the Animal Justice Party. We don't have those ties.
Yeah.
None of us are from... all of us are from either left or right persuasions, but everything in between. We're not here for the power or for the continued entitlement. We're here to actually create a better life for all, and that includes animals, including the two-legged kind, that includes the environment and the planet.
I'm glad you encompassed everything in that, because that's important also. There's a few, but I better get to some of these comments that have been coming through here and I haven't got to them. Rick says, thank you, Harry, for your support of the AJP. Michelle says, we are the tipping point, I think, now. We actually are, in relation to climate crisis, All vegans join Extinction Rebellion. Okay, if you can post a link to Extinction Rebellion so people can see it, that would be good. Mackenzie says, yay, go Joe. Michelle says, I have no children, but it makes me scared for my nephews and nieces. What world we are leaving them? I think the same way, Michelle. I think exactly the same way. It's one of the reasons why I've never had kids, but anyway. So Claudette says, support from New Brunswick, Canada. Thank you for watching from Canada, Claudette. Appreciate that. Rick says, go vegan for the animals, the planet, and all future generations. Exactly, all future generations. Leah says, have the conversations with your friends too about the fact that no other party will act on animal agriculture. Good.
Yes. Yeah, because we have power when you're talking the question about what can we do as individuals to actually have those difficult conversations. And I've been surprised in talking to the residents called Brian. Yeah. It's not a known fact. As a vegan, I think we know these facts and we know these statistics. We're surrounded by them, but the general public doesn't. And it's that realization that we've been lied to.
I mean,
why is this information being withheld? We certainly are from a nation that was, I suppose, our wealth as a young nation. Australia's wealth has been built on animal agriculture.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's the right thing to continue to do. We know that we've got farmers who are, you know, fourth and fifth generation farmers, have a very high suicide rate. They are also
I didn't know that.
Higher than the average population.
Ah, any idea why?
Because of the stress due to running a farm, due to drought, due to extreme weather events.
Yeah.
And farmers are also on the vanguard of climate change and climate crisis. So it's not about pitting the AJP up against any of other stakeholders in the community. It's actually working together and understanding that what we're doing doesn't work. It might have worked 200 years ago. It doesn't work now. Let's find a better way. Let's be solutions focused. But we have to know the truth to be able to act on that.
It's interesting, because it just occurred to me that, you know, the reason for the climate crisis is because of animal agriculture in a majority of the cases. And people involved with animal agriculture, if they don't want to change, then it just gets worse and worse and worse. So it's like, okay, at some point you've got to be raw and honest enough with yourself to admit that you are the cause of the problem, and that you're not solving the problem by putting your head in the sand. You know, they've got to look at the possibility of change. And I know a lot of people have said, we're not against the farmers. We will help them to transition into sustainable, cruelty-free type industries.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is what the AJP is about. It's supporting everyone, animals, people, climate, Yeah.
That's right. And we have to ask those hard questions of the government. It's not okay for the government to continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars to drought relief when we really should be looking at a better way to farm, a more lucrative way, drought resistant crops.
And let's qualify that when you say a better way to farm, because sometimes people will take that on board and say, oh, okay, so we'll find a better way to kill animals, you know, a more humane way, or a better welfare for them or something like that. It's like, no, you don't find a good way to do a bad thing.
That's exactly right.
You find a good way to do a good thing.
That's exactly right.
So it's just a re-education, and it takes time for somebody that's been indoctrinated through many generations of their family and their history and whatever to come to that realization that they might be at the end of the line of what has been their heritage and their history, and that a radical change has to happen.
Yes.
And we've got people that are very obviously burying their heads in the sand, from government in general to individuals. And then we've got other people that are going, hey, the science is there. The 94-97%, I think it is, of scientists worldwide are saying this is the issue. There's hardly any of them now not saying there is not a problem.
That's it. So it's almost an agreement.
And I think it's almost a total agreement.
Speaking to people in O'Brien and across the board, voters are disenchanted because they're not being heard, they're not being listened to. This is really important to
them. So do they feel they're not being listened to by existing parties?
Yes.
Right.
Well, certainly by the government.
Right. By the government. Oh, but yeah, by the current government, yeah. There's a couple of comments there. Good on you, Joe, for standing up for the animals, from Christine.
Thanks,
Maureen says, hi, Joe. Rick says, governments need to stop throwing money at the dying animal agriculture industry and start to fund the transition to good sustainable crops like hemp and black sesame. Yes, I believe. I think black sesame can grow under just about any conditions.
Absolutely.
I think. And hemp's pretty hardy too, I think.
Yes.
So. Also, fund proper recycling businesses here in Australia and stop dumping our rubbish on the rest of the world. Exactly. Yeah. Carla says, another amazing strong woman fighting for what she believes in. Thank you, Jane. Jackie says, climate crisis is real. Species are becoming extinct at an alarming rate. Yeah, it's actually, I can't remember the statistic, but it's ridiculously bad. We need more vegans and more members of the AJP. Jan has put a link there to Extinction Rebellion, I think. Good. Maureen says, so true, Harry. There's no way to kill an animal humanely. Yes. So I just wanted to clarify that in case somebody was thinking there was a better way to do a wrong thing.
Susie, that's a very valid point.
Yeah, because if you're not vegan and you're thinking, okay, I love animals, let's sort of be nicer to them. It's like, yeah, how about we be nice to them by actually being nice to them?
Yeah, don't breed them, genetically modify them.
Exactly. Treat them like you would treat your mum and dad, but maybe you don't like your mum and dad. Treat them like you would treat someone you love, because they are loving animals that deserve everything we deserve. So,
and it's interesting, Harry, I think the relationship that people understand, particularly in cities, urban, peri-urban areas, with companion animals, and we spoil them, we buy them presents.
Yes, especially if they're cats.
That's right.
I had to put that in. We were talking about that earlier.
There's a disconnect, though, isn't there?
There is. What do they call it? Cognitive dissonance. Yes. It's a real disconnect, yeah. And would it be fair to say, in the time that you've been vegan and the time you've been aware of what's happening, you've noticed the change, that people are becoming more aware of it? That disconnect, that they're actually making the connection? Have you noticed that in talking to people and in campaigning and so forth?
Yes, yeah, and I think because the evidence is stacking up against a diet high in meat, high in protein. Plant-based diets are better for you as an individual, health-wise, for the environment, and obviously for animals. So I think depending on what your values are and what's the most important to you, it's difficult to meet someone that doesn't resonate with one of those key components.
Yeah, it seems a lot of people are very much aware of it now, yes.
Yes.
Susie says, the AJP is about compassion, equality, rationality, excuse me, and non-violence for both animals and humans. Michelle says, what do you both think of Scott Morrison's comments this week about educating children about the truth on climate change? Please take that, because I probably can't use words that aren't swear words.
It's quite frightening in terms it of the, again, I think the current government really is trying to use every strategy possible to
discredit.
Isn't
it obvious?
With climate.
Isn't it obvious for those of us that have our eyes open? it's like, really, could you guys make it so more plain to see that you're just in panic mode?
That's it. But even school children seem to know. I think all of the activity where school children are rallying, they're writing to politicians. They are tomorrow's voters, not tomorrow's, maybe in a few years.
Well, yes,
they get it. And
they get it.
That we're risking here.
I think it'd be fair to say that a lot of kids are not caught up in the loop that previous generations were, where they were sitting in front of the TV and taking all that in as that brainwashing. Now they're actually getting some real information through social media, in amongst probably all the other stuff, all the selfies and that, but they're getting some information on in there that's actually, you know, the videos are showing what's happening to the animals, you know, the documentaries, you know, the statistics and all that are coming through there.
Yes.
And I was actually talking to somebody on the weekend, we were talking about this subject actually, and they said they have a lot of faith and hope with the youth. They said, we're actually in a good place with the youth because they are switched on and they're not going to let this go down without a fight.
That's exactly right.
So good on you, youth.
Interestingly, I attended a climate forum in Ryan just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions that a young girl asked, she would have been 14, 15, 16, she got very upset. She actually cried, and her question was, what would you tell your daughter as a candidate you didn't take strong action against the climate crisis?
Oh, good.
And that was the light bulb moment, I think, for so many people in the room. There was a couple of hundred and probably sort of older, the older side from 40 upwards.
Yes.
Some young people, but predominantly the composition of the audience was older voters.
Yes.
And I think that really woke people up. They don't have a future. They're not even thinking about owning my own home or potentially having children, because we might not have a future. And if we don't take action in 10 to 12 years. So these policies that are just one line policy, just focusing on renewable energy, is not enough. Mm. And that's really what the Animal Justice Party is about, again, with this election policy platform. We really want to make sure that the climate crisis is addressed, and that's what we'll be pushing for the seat in Parliament.
Let's talk about the AGP has just announced a new environmental law policy. So this will tie in with what we're talking about here. So we've covered some of that with already?
We've covered a little.
Yeah.
The environmental law policy is certainly in addition to the climate crisis policy, and it actually mirrors or is quite a nice complement to our animal law policy.
So what
the environmental law and animal law policies do is put forward an argument that animals and the environment should be granted legal personhood.
Legal personhood, yeah.
So legal personhood, obviously you and I have individual legal personhood.
Yes, we have certain rights because of that.
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
Other entities that have legal personhood include corporations, charities, governments.
If you ever wondered why a certain corporation can get away without paying tax, it's all part of the ways that they do it, yeah.
That's it. So you've got all these entities that aren't individuals, but they have rights, as a human being does, yet animals in the environment don't have those rights.
Which is crazy.
And what that enables is that means that the laws that we currently are abide by are all about the environment and animals being the property of human beings.
Yes.
So they can be exploited and commodified, and that is within the legal confines of our constitution and our legislation.
Yeah.
So unless we have a shift in the legal system and the way we think about the environment and animals, it's going to be very difficult to progress that.
And you know, we're seeing, we've been talking about it for the last 10 minutes, we're seeing the ramifications of that exploitation and commodification. It's reached a point now where it's like, well, we can't keep doing this forever, because we are, to use, excuse me for swearing, but we are shitting in our own nest. And you know, it's not, it's just, it's insane. It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no wisdom to doing what we're doing. I equate it, I mentioned this on the weekend, a live stream I did on the weekend, I equate it to being in your house and setting fire to your own house.
That's exactly.
And you've gone, okay, this is crazy. I don't know why I've done it, but I set fire in my own house and I've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Because when I go outside this house, I've actually got no land or anything around me. This is it. So my house is burning, I've got to put it out. Otherwise, I'm screwed. That's what the planet is. We've set fire to our own house, and we only have so much time before we're engulfed by the flames.
And that's why so many young people are genuinely frightened and want change. And we've got a huge opportunity in this election to push for that change.
Yeah, thanks to people also like Greta Thunberg, or however you pronounce her name, from Sweden, who has really pushed the whole angle of being a youth Vegan Youth Activist for the Climate. Wow, that rolled off the tongue like a brick. So back to the environmental law policy.
The other one of the other issues that the Animal Justice Party has identified with the current structure of federal laws is that we have ministers who are responsible for sectors such as the agricultural sector. Mm-hmm. Those sectors are donating. Those sectors are part of their political network. They're part of a heritage.
Yes.
So you can see there's a conflict of interest.
Oh, definitely.
We need to break that apart. We need to make sure that the organisations we have that are looking out for the environment and animals and their rights and making sure that they're complied with are actually independent. So part
Most
of our policy is actually advocating for that we would have those independent bodies as opposed to them being part of the government structure.
Yes. Oh, it has to be. I can't add to that because that's exactly right. Anything else?
I wanted to ask you, I know when sometimes when you speak to people about legal personhood and getting their head around what does that mean, it certainly does help to talk about the other entities that have legal personhood, like I say, body corporate, governments, etc. So I wanted to ask you, what's your favourite place on the coast?
That's easy. It's got to be the place I've lived in for 35 odd years, Crummon Valley.
Fantastic.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, why? What do you love about it?
It's peace. In one word, it's peace. It's just being able to resonate with the green and the blue of the valley and just relax and just feel like I'm at home, you know. It's home.
Yeah.
So I've spent the majority of my adult life there, so so I love it. So, and there's also, you know, the animals, there's the koalas and there's the wallabies and there's the possums and there's that getting away from it all. So for me, it's like, okay, the Gold Coast is just there, it's just out the door, but 5 minutes away, I go in Crown Valley, and suddenly I'm like, I'm removed from. I'm no longer in suburbia. I'm in Acre. It's just beautiful. I love it. So that's my
space.
Meditative space. That's my, that green space.
And so granting Currumbin Valley personhood would mean that any damage that a corporation or environmental vandals impose on that area could be held accountable.
Yes. Yes.
Likewise, the animals in that area, the animals would actually have legal personhood.
That would be fantastic. You know, close to where I live is a place called the Eco Village. A lot of people are probably aware of it, and it is probably one of the best animal sanctuaries I've come across. Inadvertently, an animal sanctuary because they ban dogs and cats from the residents can't have dogs and cats there. So because of that, in this beautiful Eco Village is I've counted over some days over 33 odd kangaroos. Hopping around freely through people's yards, they're not fenced in, but they're completely free, and I think that is the closest to total freedom for animals that we could provide. I think it's just amazing. It's like an animal sanctuary, but to me, it's even better. They are completely free to live the way that they want to live in this quite large Eco Village. Quite large, it goes up the hills and that as well, and so I love that. So yeah, let's grant Crummon Valley some. Personagehood. Is that the terminology? Personagehood. Legal personagehood. Yeah. Just before we go further, there's quite a few comments here that have been coming up. Shay says, thank you for standing up for the animals. Great to hear from you. Good luck on the 18th.
Thank you.
Let's see. Leah says, such manipulation of innocent children. Disgraceful. Yeah. Giannis put a link to can't remember what it was called, XR Australia, whatever that was. Thank you for that, Yana. Michelle says, what about him also saying about teaching children about where their food comes from, taking them to farms? Yes. Yeah, this is going back to what Scott Morrison said about taking children to farms. Well, are they really going to take them and show them the slaughterhouse? You know, because that's an instant way of creating vegans. In fact, I shouldn't say this, but maybe they should do that.
So children can see the truth.
Well, they can see the truth because it's been
closed
industry off. Has done its best to, you know, paint the happy cows on the side of milk bottles or whatever, sort of milk cartons, whatever, for years so that we think that, you know, animals are treated humanely and we know they're not. So, maybe that is a good idea. Take them along and wake the children up. Scott Morrison won't create a system where that happens. It'll be an enclosed system so they only get to see what you know, continues to propagate the lie, basically.
Yes.
So, Rick says, we have to stop voting for the old politicians with caveman principles. Well said.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Time for change. Free solutions focus.
They have no grasp on reality. We are in the 21st century and it really is time for change. Thanks, Rick. That is great. You should be up in the pulpit. Maureen says, Rick Allport, nothing changes if nothing changes. Yes. Extinction Rebellion. Thank you. I think we've got the Extinction Rebellion happening. It began in May 2018 in the UK. Okay, thanks, Yana. I've got to look into that. Your house is like a tree house in the rainforest, Kat says. Okay, now we've gone on to my house. Rick says, you spend all your time at the amazing vegan restaurants. Hang on, this show isn't about me. Please. It's gone. Brooke says, hello. Hello, Brooke. Thank you for watching. A symbiotic relationship in your area, Michelle says. I like that. Symbiotic is great. That's actually a really good word to keep in mind in our relationship with nature anywhere, with the animals.
Yes.
With each other, symbiotic relationship. We actually have it. It's already there. It's just that we don't act upon it. And the fact that we don't act upon it is what causes all the problems.
Absolutely.
You know, it causes the problems in the way we live our life and how our health is, and then of course with the animals and then with the environment. And, you know, we got away with it. Well, we didn't get away with it, but somehow Earth managed to handle it up to recently, and now Earth is saying, no, I'm
enough.
I'm gonna throw you guys off.
Yes.
You know, you're gonna get more fires, you're gonna get more earthquakes, you're gonna get flooding, you're gonna get everything that's gonna make it hard for you to stay on this planet, because you humans are a parasite. that's what Earth is saying. That's what I think Earth is saying. Shay says the government could save their money and just show Dominion in schools. Exactly. If the Herald Sun in Melbourne was smart enough to put the Dominion trailer on their website, the government should actually, you know, open their eyes.
Absolutely.
And that. But until the problem is the vested interest, until that's taken care of, it's a very much an uphill battle. This is why the AGP needs to come in and change the status quo, change the laws.
And we're protecting, the Animal Justice Party protects the rights around your basic civil liberties. So, being able to peacefully
demonstrate. Yes.
Being able to talk to people in terms of outreach, being able to show footage of what actually happens.
Good.
They're
all
basic.
And it should
civil
be.
Rights.
It should be. Let's see. Ali says, I went on a farm excursions as a kid. Excuse me. I'm still vegan. Many vegans grew up on farms. Mm. In fact, that's the reason why, and I've interviewed other vegans that's the reason why they went vegan, because they grew up on farms.
Yes.
They saw the reality.
That's exactly right.
They're like, whoa, hang on, I just saw what dad did to this animal or something, you know, it's like.
And that's the frustrating thing, Harry. I think the divide that the government or the media, this rhetoric around this us and them.
Mm.
So most people respect animals. Most people appreciate nature and the environment. Most people do not want animals to be treated cruelly.
That's right. Yes. Statistics have shown that almost the majority of people, unless they're psychopaths, are animal lovers. Luckily, there's hopefully not too many of them in society. So, but also the uphill battle is that there's an indoctrination, you know, that goes back generations. It goes back, well, longer than that. It goes back centuries, millennia. And that indoctrination means that when you come up with something that nobody has ever considered before and you present it to them, whatever it is, whether it's becoming vegan or whether it's some other understanding, your initial response is going to be very much like, no, I actually can't take this in. This does not fit into my normal way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It's not something, even if they're not hostile or even if a person is not against the idea, it's just that it's not something that you allow time for in your day or in your mind or in your thinking for that. It's like, no, I just put that on the back burner.
And it's confronting.
It's confronting.
Let's face it, a lot of what we read and what we see in the footage of what does happen to animals is brutal. It's very confronting.
It's especially confronting when you make the connection that you were part of the reason why it's happening.
Yes.
That's confronting. That's the most confronting bit, where at that point you then have to decide one of two things. Do I put my head back in the sand?
Am I complicit?
And what am I going to do something about it, or am I going to go, I really don't want to touch this yet? And, you know, we know that from a holistic health point of view, if you choose the latter, you choose to not do anything about it, then that impacts you more in your health. So not only are you destroying your health with the animal products you're putting in your body, but you're now just destroying your health with the thoughts that you're ignoring and pushing away.
Yes.
So really, bottom line is, we have no choice but to be kind to all living beings.
And that's why I think the movement, our movement, is gaining in power. You look at, I think, the different facets of our community. So we have animal activists who are out there showing people, talking to people about the truth, putting themselves at risk. We have animal charities, animal sanctuaries who are saving animals, educating them.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
And then we have a party like the Animal Justice Party who is putting forward laws like the environmental law, like animal law, climate crisis. These are really important issues. And with all of these people moving towards an altruistic future for all, as opposed to big industry, we are having an impact. It does seem slow. But
it's actually historic. Moment, this time that we're in now is historic, because we've entered a sixth major climate extinction event. I think is the terminology, something like that. But historic also because of the awareness that's coming up on the other side of that, the awareness of people realizing that enough is enough,
waking up.
So it's historic from both ends, and so, you know, we're seeing the positive and the negative, you know, and there's always going to be people that are going to sort of dig in and resist the change, but statistics are showing almost on a daily basis that the awareness that people worldwide are the awareness that's increasing worldwide is correlating through to more and more people going, okay, I'm either going fully vegan or I'm cutting right back in you know, my meat and my dairy and whatever, you know. So there are changes happening there. The numbers are increasing. Industries, I talk about this a lot, industries are, you know, making massive changes to embrace a hugely growing market. You know, so this is actually amazing when you think about it.
Absolutely.
The changes that are happening, and it's just, it's, there's a, we head towards a tipping point when I think it's 12% of the population has to be in a certain frame of mind. Once 12% of the population is in agreement with something, I think that's the figure, then the tipping point accelerates rapidly, so that we actually, everybody just sort of starts agreeing. Yeah, everybody starts, it becomes the norm then. And that norm is getting so close now.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
I mean, these are exciting times, because as bad as the news is daily, it's the fact that we're getting this bad news daily is an indication that we're talking about it, that we're aware of it, that people want something done about it, that we have, like 5-10 years ago, we didn't have the AJP or whatever to, you know, to try and make changes like this. We didn't have organizations that have sprung up that have wanted to help. You know, so it's fantastic.
And the Animal Justice Party actually was founded in 2009, so we were around 10 years ago. However,
I was wondering if I was digging a small hole for myself then when I tried that history.
This election is quite monumental. It's a milestone. We've got 46 lower house candidates running across the nation.
And a recent success in the most recent election with her name escapes me.
But, Emma Hirst.
Thank you.
South Wales.
Thank you. Yes, that's So that was, she got in.
So she's our third MP. She joins Mark Pearson in New South Wales. Yep. We also have Andy Medic in Victoria. So we are very quickly becoming a powerhouse to speak on behalf of the voiceless animals.
So how can our viewers help?
Our viewers can help by voting one in this election. So if there is a lower house candidate running in your area, like Ryan or Dixon or here on the Gold Coast, as well as in the Senate. So we have three Senate candidates running. Vote one in the upper house and the lower house. We actually do have how to vote cards, which we'll be sharing on our page. So please follow our page closely. You can also assist by volunteering on the day. Having volunteers to hand out how to vote cards is quite phenomenal, and the results that you can have, the direct impact to actually increase the number of votes at that polling booth is quite strong. So that's a way that half a day is all we ask, whether that's a morning shift or the afternoon shift, volunteering your time is absolutely essential.
I guess it makes a big difference having somebody there rather than just a sign.
That's right. Yeah. And particularly when you think of the major parties, they've got huge campaign budgets, so they have signage plastered everywhere, and it can be really difficult to have a voice. Likewise, if you join the Animal Justice Party, it is only a small annual fee.
Yep.
And that means that we have obviously a larger membership, so again, more political influence as a registered political party, and then being an active volunteer going forward. So we are active in the community, not just at campaign times or election times. We are constantly active throughout the community. So you'll see us at markets, you'll see activity on social media. We're really out in the community working with all those different groups.
As opposed to other political parties that don't seem to be noticed in between elections. It's really...
Door knocking increases.
Yeah, it's really funny. Rick says, I'm often asked if having AJP politicians can make a difference. You only need to see what Andy Medic is doing in Victoria. He has only been in for a couple of months and is already kicking butt and making changes to the animals. We also now have two AJP senators in New South Wales who are doing well for the animals. Now to get federal senators, yes. Susie says AJP and all forms of activism are important. The animals need it all. And B says we need stronger laws for animals in the environment, which of course is what the AJP is wanting to achieve.
Absolutely.
Yes. Jackie says, do it for your health, do it for the planet, do it for the animals, do it because it's kind. Think with your heart. Definitely well said. Ali says, I'm losing my voice reading all the comments. The fact that the LNP have a plan of attack to try and stop vegans is, I think, actually really exciting for the movement and proving just what an impact we're having. Yes. 5 years ago, people still didn't know what a vegan was. Well said, Ali, yes, because it fits in with the philosophy of once people start attacking you, that means you're a threat to them.
That's exactly right.
So you've become so noticeable, you've become such a force. So yes, I take that on board as a very good point. Susie says, so many female candidates, it's awesome. Well, women are naturally more compassionate. What can I say? I'm just trying to say it in a way that's not going to offend too many men. but statistically, 80-something percent of vegans are female.
Yes.
So, you know, it just happens to be that men just too busy trying to be manly or something. You know,
and it's cultural, isn't it? I think Australia, the whole culture about you're manly if you eat steak.
A real man
is vegan.
I could do a whole vegan hour on the whole thing of manliness. It's so absurd. And as a guy, I can say that because I've just watched it for 39 years of being vegan and go, oh my God, can you see you guys? You just, you know, and what's sad, I mean, seriously, what is sad is this manliness has killed so many men.
That's
with
right.
The cancers,
suicide
rates, all the rest, because they won't express themselves compassionately and emotionally. I'm glad we're in a society now where it's acceptable for a man to actually be emotional and to have therapy if he needs to or whatever, you know, and their men's groups or support groups, wonderful. But it's really sad that we've had so many previous generations that just did not, as men, talk about anything to do with anything slightly touchy-feely. You know, it's just really sad.
And Harry, one of the core principles or core values of the Animal Justice Party is, in fact, equality. And that's between species. So regardless of gender, regardless of political persuasion, sexual orientation or species, everyone wants the same thing. We want to feel safe, secure, loved, have a supportive community.
Exactly.
Security.
Yeah, definitely. It's our basic need without which we just become lost, and we see so many lost people in the world. It's really sad. Joe, can you please explain the preference voting system?
I can. Thank you, Maureen. So we talk about to voters when they're not quite sure, they don't want to waste their vote. We talk about the importance of voting one for the Animal Justice Party and then two for your usual party. So if you're traditionally a Greens voter, vote one for the AJP and then the Greens.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're sending a really strong message to the larger parties that animals and the environment matter. Basically, if the Animal Justice Party doesn't receive enough ones in the votes to take government, then your preference will go to the number two that you've voted for.
Yes.
So you're really having two bites of the cherry. You've got two options. Yeah. Your vote's going that bit further.
Yeah.
So if the environment matters to you and animals matter to you, please vote one for us in the lower house and the upper house.
Excellent. And that's in just over 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Christine says you can volunteer to help out in polling booths here, and she's provided a link there. Shay says toxic masculinity, that's what we were talking about. Beautiful terminology for an awful subject. Ali says, I'm confident that with time, much like cigarettes, the manly cool image of eating meat will shift dramatically. Yes, yeah, it's, well, it has happened in, so.
And again, the younger people, the younger generations are, I think, really seeing veganism's now cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, when you talk about going vegan, you were treated like you had two heads, whereas now it's something that people innately understand. It's actually a natural state.
You had to go out in public with a hat pulled down over your face or something, so that, you know, but yes, now it's, we're in the middle of, I think we're in the middle of seeing, you know, some really dramatic changes and changes in what is considered normal and acceptable. So that in a couple of years, and this has only happened in the last few years, so in a few years from now, what is normal is shifting. I think normality is really, it's changing. And I've got a few questions. I think we've covered a lot of the things I wanted to ask you. We've sort of gone through a lot of stuff tonight. And we've got only a few minutes left in any case, so I'm just seeing if there's, what would you like to share with us that we haven't discussed?
I would like to share, I think something, one of the reasons or the key policy areas that inspired me to come into politics and particularly join the Animal Justice Party is the lack of action against live export.
Yes, we didn't talk about that,
Has been an issue that Australians have been vehemently against for decades.
Yes.
There have been multiple parliamentary inquiries, there have been multiple rallies, there's been so many exposés and pieces of footage that actually show the cruelty that these animals are put through.
And these are through mainstream media
And it still hasn't changed, nothing has actually changed, and the current government has actually been winding back a lot of the stopgap measures that have that had been included as reform. The Animal Justice Party wants to ban the live export of all animals. Labor's talking about banning live export on sheep. That is a very small step in the right direction, but it should be for all animals.
Yep.
How is what a sheep is feeling different to what a bovine is feeling?
Exactly.
It's time to end live export.
Exactly. And the majority of Australians are against it.
Three out of four,
isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
And that was a poll that was done 2017 by the RSPCA. 3 out of 4 Australians were banned.
If the majority of Australians are against it, and yet it's continued on for decades, that can only mean that the government's propping up a small but very powerful group of people and businesses that benefit from it, which is really, it's not the way things should work in a perfect world. In case you've noticed, we're not in a perfect world.
And Harry, it's not under the guise, I think, of talking about economic growth, increasing Australia's international competitiveness.
Yes.
When ultimately what it is trying to do is to bolster a declining agricultural industry instead of actually taking stock and looking at what's not working and finding better solutions, more compassionate solutions, and more lucrative solutions.
Yeah.
The government is, and society is, allowing it just to revert back to what we've always done. And that's what the Animal Justice Party is about. Finding new solutions, finding common ground, taking swift action where it's required. Climate crisis, live export, we're all feeling those. And they're just two of our policies. If you'd like to go to the website, we have policies on the environment, animals, and human matters. So things like the economy, things such as gun laws, healthcare, all of those key general federal issues are covered by our policies.
Fantastic.
And we pride ourselves on actually disclosing and talking about the things that might be uncomfortable and confronting.
That's really good, yes. Without the vested interests. The only vested interest is to look after the animals, but as you say, it covers all areas.
It does.
Yes. I see us coming up to the end of an hour.
No, that's gone so fast.
It has gone so fast, and you've been a wealth of information. It's been really fantastic to have you on the show. It's
Thanks
been
for having me.
Fantastic. If anybody wants to find out who their candidate is in their area, they just need, I assume, to go to the AJP's Facebook page or website.
That's right.
And there'll be links there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We have profiles for Facebook pages for each of our candidates.
Yes.
If you do go, depending on where you're watching from, the Animal Justice Party is a national party.
Lee has put up the link to yours there, which your page is actually linked in the title of this live stream.
Thank you.
The Michelle says, I think our politicians want to continue to push a square wheel. Well said. And Jackie says, participated in a massive ban live export rally in Melbourne on Sunday. Thousands of people from all walks of life.
Huge.
If this was any indication, the current coalition is in for a wake up call soon. Yeah.
I hope you're right, Jackie.
Yeah, I hope so, Jackie, because you know how long can you keep pushing an evil agenda? Susie, I've got to finish up, wind up the show, but I'm just reading the last few comments here. Susie says, Jody, you have done a fantastic job, and you have.
Thanks.
And Lyndon has provided a link there to the AJP's federal election details for 2019. That is awesome. I want to thank everybody that's commented. There's been a lot of comments tonight. It's been really, really wonderful. A lot of good questions in there. A lot of people really paying attention. That's really great. You've provided some fantastic answers. I hope you get in.
Thank
because,
you.
Because, I mean, you would do so much. Oh, my God. And so I want to go up to see Ryan and vote for you. with the federal election on May the 18th, so that's two and a half Saturdays away or something, however you say. So there'll be another vegan hour before then, but I won't be having another AJP candidate before then. So that's why I'm really sort of pushing, making sure that everybody knows about the election, because next vegan hour will be on health. So.
Thank you. And hopefully after the election, you'll be interviewing one of our federal Senate candidates.
That would be, oh yes, definitely. That would be fantastic.
That would be great.
That would be great. I'll travel to wherever they are in Australia and do it.
In Queensland, we have three running here in Queensland, and the lead candidate is
Well, Queensland's in Australia.
Correct. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So I can travel to Queensland. Yes, and Carol May Kelly, yes, she is awesome as well. Yes, so let's have a look at what's coming up before I close out for the night. In 2 weeks' time, on Tuesday the 14th of May for episode 9, I've got Emma Strutt from Green Stuff Nutrition. So we're back to talking about all the healthy stuff to make us healthy. So while the AJP is helping to save the animals, we'll be helping to save our own health. Thank you once again, Joanne. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks everyone for watching.
Thanks.
And the Vegan Hour will be back again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, live vegan and save lives.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.